Hi, Calvin. Calvin, I'd like to ask you, I've given a summary of the ideas of Matha Musics and the relationship between health and frequencies and coherence in our body, and how the number 8 plays a central role in that. And I asked if you would be able to make a connection between the number 8 as it plays a role in music and the number 8 as it plays a role in tetrionics.
Yeah, I've gone a completely different approach to what I had when we first discussed this. Your explanation on the last recording was perfect. As I said, it's redirected my thoughts. Obviously, there's connections with 8 quantum levels being the maximum number of quantum levels in atomic elements. And there's also a connection there where in tetrionics I color-coded the energy levels 1 to 8 as red through to violet, and that worked out beautifully for spectral lines. But what came out in that discussion there is more so in my mind, I see the octaves being related to, say, 360 degrees broken up into 8 sections, so 45 degrees a section. And then relating it back, I'll have to send you the illustration, but relating it back to the geometry of photons and EM waves, which then ties back into what you were saying about the Lemmon's gate and the internal, external interactions. And then obviously tetrionics uses photons in EM fields of various types. I mean, like in the spectral lines case, we're talking about straightforward EM fields, spectral colors, photo transitions, like you were saying, photoelectrons transitioning through the 1 to 8 levels, are then chem field changes. They're changes between squared numbers, so they're restrictive in harmonics. And the spectral line series covers all the transitions that can occur there. But then we also have BEM fields that we've begun to discuss as well. And that's where the communication of cells comes in. This is the old story of Descartes' compromise. In order to get science per se up and running, while to get the church to allow it, he compromised and said, well, I'll talk about the material things and the church can talk about matters of the spirit. The problem that came about that, as we've discussed, is that physics has focused on matter and the motion of matter, relativity, the motion of charged particles, etc., to the detriment of any study or understanding of the difference between matter, 3D matter, and 2D mass energies. And that's where the cell communication comes in these BEM fields. They're fields of mass energy, and we can relate them back, as I started to say at the beginning of this, to and I do it through an illustration I did, or two illustrations in particular. The first one being where I related the unit circle, which is used throughout maths and electrical engineering, etc., back to the 2π geometry of photons, where I mapped the simple harmonic sine waves that are created by the diamond electromagnetic field of a photon or an EM wave passing a point as it passes through into a detector or past a point of measurement. As you map those changing electric and magnetic field geometries, you produce the dual sine wave of the electric and magnetic fields, the positive and negative, the north-south relationships. And you can map them back to unit circles, just as they do in physics and in math, for electrical engineering, for physics itself, etc. A lot of the math, as it's explained in physics, they relate back to the unit circle. whereas in fact it's a 2π or a diamond shaped photon that's creating those sine waves, those the interrelationship between the electric and the magnetic is the result of the geometries of mass energy. Physics itself doesn't look at those geometries, it just looks at the sine waves that are produced and incorrectly assumes that they're related to a spherical object for a lot of reasons. But that's where tetrionics steps aside and says, no, they're the result of equilateral bosons combining to make photons, and in turn those photons make up electromagnetic fields. Now, in the case of quantum mechanics, they're just EM fields, and if a asymmetry exists, then you have a charge field. So you move from electromagnetic to electrostatic fields. But at the same time, once you have motion occurring, those photons form in the chem field. So the energies of motion are stored in chem fields, kinetic EM fields. And then when you get to the point of discussing chemistry or elements and compounds leading up to chemistry and then biology, those chem fields become BEM fields, biological EM fields. That's where, again, tetrionics is using the BEM fields to show how mass energy interacts and communicates and exchanges energy and information and momenta from one physical object to another. If you look at chemistry as it exists now, there's lots of explanations, but basically it comes back down to, in chemistry, there's chemical bonds. In quantum mechanics, there's electromagnetic forces, there's strong and weak forces, nuclear forces, if you like. And they become the classical chemistry bonds. But there's, as you say, and as you pointed out, there's no real explanation of how that jump from quantum mechanics to chemistry occurs. In tetrionics, the transition occurs because we're moving from EM fields, quantum or quantized EM fields, to chem fields, kinetic EM fields. The atoms themselves store excess energy of motion or of heat, etc., as chem fields. And if you like, you can play on the words and say chem fields are the basis of chemistry. And then BEM fields, which are the if you like, the black body radiation, the fields of information that each element or molecule will create around itself with its excess energies, and they're unique to each and every molecule, so a slightly different change in the topology or the energy levels or the electron configuration of a atom or a compound will affect the BEM field that it produces. Those BEM fields of mass energy, momenta, are what allows communications. Now, a lot of the illustrations in tetrionics focuses on highlighting longitudinal photons and transverse bosons. And for simplicity's sake, most of the illustrations are of monochromatic light. When you start to look at white light and complex fields, Fourier fields, etc., you find yourself quickly moving from monochromatic waveforms, which can be again described via Euler's formula, into complex electromagnetic waveforms of varying wavelengths, varying frequency, if you like. So you move from a planar field that's easy to look at and easy to identify the patterns in, into this complex waveform where the various wavelengths and information, if you like, frequencies of everything that compound creates in its BEM field is a superposition of all these different frequencies. Hence, white light is probably the best analogy. But as you say, it could be a red long wavelength photon, a red one, superimposed with a green, shorter wavelength photon, and we're measuring it as a dual sine wave, but in fact we would visually see it as a blue or some other color. Those sort of wave patterns are best described via Fourier analysis. Where it gets super, super complex is when you have two of those fields interacting from one molecule to another molecule. Physically, the molecules aren't touching, but both of them have a BEM field surrounding them with these complex BEM fields that have different wavelength, different size triangles, in essence. And they reach out from those physically separated material objects through space till they interact with each other. And where they interact in superposition, again, two waves, just think of it as your hands outstretched, eventually coming up so that they overlap. Where they overlap, we have this region of interaction, usually within the electric field component and within the momentum component, and that presents itself in our chemistry and biology as forces of attraction or repulsion between molecules, atoms, and biological systems. And it also presents as physical forces pulling and pushing chemical objects and biological components apart or towards each other. And we also have this exchange of information because each field is unique. So you can think of it as each molecule broadcasting a RF frequency, saying, here's my RF frequency, and I just broadcast it like a radio station broadcasts. And if somebody if there's an organism that's looking for food or a particular function within the body, it will be attracted to that. Now, that's anthropomorphizing things a little bit, and I hate to do it, but that's the simplest explanation. Just think of the RF frequency, the BEM field, as an RF frequency surrounding each molecule or each atom, each macromolecule in the case of biology. And they have a specific frequency as a result of all these overlaid waves. Where it gets really interesting is when you have the symbiotic relationship where one molecule is looking for a particular type of another molecule. It can do so over great distances because of these EM fields, these BEM fields. They radiate out at the speed of light, just like everything else. They can communicate faster than that. Once the fields are interacting, they can in fact exchange force and information faster than the speed of light through the interaction at a distance that I discuss in my work. Again, that's just a case of linear momentum lining up to interact and form rigid channels of communication between molecules. But if biological systems, and you must remember that in tetrionics, as I said, that the basic EM field can be a charged field, and that charged field, in the case of bosons, creates all the solid matter in the universe through charge interactions. So if it's doing that, and then it's broadcasting this RF frequency, suddenly we've got a channel of communication that's open. Where the part that sort of stirred my imagination during your last talk came in was, whereas I see the connection between the spectral colors, the eight spectral colors, and the eight atomic transitions between squared number energy levels, etc., if you relate it back to a unit circle and the geometry of photons, as I said, and then say that the 360 degrees of the unit circle that's used so extensively in physics and math can be divided in or set up as an octave, eight slices, 45 degrees each, and then applied back to the photon, effectively what you're doing is if you divided the unit circle into four, you would have the transitions between the E field minimum, maximum, and the magnetic fields minimum and maximum. A bit hard to illustrate without the illustrations here for people that are trying to follow, but if you follow that sine wave relationship, I'll see if I can find the illustration. It's illustration 98.01. I'll send that through to you now, Otto. Mm-hmm. But for those looking for it, if you search for Tetrionics 9801, you'll see the unit circles sine wave photons relationship. If instead of the two sine waves that are mapped there, the minimum maximum E fields and minimum maximum M fields, which are 90 degrees out of phase, the octaves, that would split the sine wave, the unit circle up into four, for example, which are your classical longitudinal transverse relationships that I present in my fundamental theorem of energy momenta diagrams for Tesla Hertz. All the octaves are doing is splitting that again. Instead of 90 degrees phase relationships, we're splitting it into 45s. So you could say that we're taking the root RMS or the means of those signals as well, and marking them as we go, or dividing up the minimum and maximums into averages, minimum, average, maximum, back to average, back to 0 point, and then going negative or going south instead of north, etc. So if that holds and that makes sense to yourself and Hank, that would sort of imply that we've now got the basis of not only a musical relationship, but a relationship back to unit circles for math, plus the geometry for tetrionics for how the universe is built. All we have to do is measure those medium points, or mark those medium points, and then instead of going minimum, medium, maximum, we just go however the musical scales work, C, D, E, F, or whatever. And then when you get to the end of the photon, you're then setting up another octave. So each photon, or each EM wave, would be a complete octave. And the second photon behind it would be the next octave, which can be described either via sine waves, or via unit circles, or via the musical scales. Now, you'd have to dig a lot further into that to see if that holds. But so far as the communications, this is the old story of mass versus matter, differentiating between the two. And in this case, the music would be more mass than matter. It's not a tangible thing. It's the it's the radio frequency field. It's the unique RF station that identifies each molecule from the other. Because, as I said, a slight change in topology, or when one atom binds to another to form a compound, it will change the resonant frequency, or the frequency that it broadcasts. Then, if we look further into that, there may even be patterns that of harmony between various molecules. H2O might be a case of the O is resonating with hydrogen to attract two of them, or things like that, along with charge interactions. Or it might be, as I'm beginning to suspect in my biology work, that once the water molecule forms, it's particularly apt at storing energy and turning that energy into a specific frequency that's harmonious to everything in life, as well as being able to be converted into a kinetic field, which is gives us the ability to put it to work. The old story of
sound drops off.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, the sound just dropped off for a moment.
Yeah, the other computer shut down.
There's an explanation for many things. You were just talking about the way materials are correlated to music. You said that molecules of matter, they actually are like radio frequency signals. And you already said that some materials, such as water, are able to phase change and adapt, absorb, relay, and emit frequency as changes. So they're a much more flexible kind of thing. And just like to connect that the body materials are all piezoelectric, liquid crystal, transistor. They're able to transform in the electromagnetic field. They're not fixed materials, and that's just what you're describing. So it's wonderful that you bring that up.
Yeah, it's the old story that I keep harping on about. It's this hidden, unknown territory of physics, of mass, where physicists think they know what mass is, but they've never defined it, and they've never differentiated it between mass and matter. As a consequence, the formulations for mass, energy, etc., become horribly tangled and confused. That's where the geometries and the understanding of the role of charge in quantum mechanics gives us a real great heads up in making sense of things using tetrionic theory. The thing that comes out, that kept coming out in your discussion, was that whereas I just simply related everything back to eight levels, etc., and tried to relate it to the eight quantum levels, to the eight octaves, etc., it doesn't really hold. But what does hold is this dividing up the unit circle. Because if you divide up that unit circle, you can then relate it back to the geometries of mass energy. And it's those geometries of mass energy that give us the channels of communication and the freedom of choice. Gives us our interaction at a distance between molecules and large organisms, irrespective of their size, etc. And it will allow us very quickly to make connections between, if it holds, between music, math, and physics on all scales. Because I've already made the connections with Euler's equation for the phase relationships in EM waves. I've already made the connection with simple harmonic motion through the geometries of photons. I've made the connection back to the unit circle, which then brings in all the standard mathematics. But with the rigid geometries, we can then get rid of some of those vagarities that are in the math at the moment, where for lack of a better word, erroneous extrapolations jump in all the time with no foundation in reality. The geometries lock us into a fixed pattern and a fixed reason and very defined ways of interacting. The fields that each, the BEM fields that each compound or molecule or atom produces are unique to those individual compounds, just as the chemical formulas are unique to those compounds. So the BEM fields, when we get round to being able to calculate them, because they are just a form of spectral line emissions, they're just black body radiation, etc., they will be just as unique as the chemical formulas, and depending on their wavelengths, they will produce a stronger or weaker attractive force between molecules. The only jump I see having to take place would be an understanding of why certain frequencies, and this comes back to what you were saying before, why some certain frequencies seem to be desirous and others disharmonious, that they just create cancer, they create problems, they foul up the body. They don't work with it, they work against it. Whereas other situations, other energies, when the body's in sync and it's working properly, all those energies will be the way they want to be, and they'll all be working harmoniously to make the body healthier and better and stronger. Again, you can link all that back or relate it all back to what's really going on, and that's basically and I'll probably have illustrations of that as well, that would be basically constructive and destructive interference from where those BEM fields overlapped and interact as they spread out from the bodies, and then they come in touch with each other and overlap superposition. They will either work with the positive and negative electric fields, and the north and south M fields will either be constructive or destructive. It's just a simple interference, and that can be, I'll send another illustration as well, 3906 and 3905. There's various layers of interaction there as well. It's not just a lateral, but you can have transverse, you can have side to side waves that are side by side, you can have waves that are longitudinally separated from each other and interacting. And again, the frequency plays a big role. Lower energy, longer wavelength EM waves will produce weaker forces. Higher energy spectral lines and EM waves will produce stronger forces of interaction. So the more energy that a particle has spare, or the higher its energy levels, the more it's able to interact with other particles, either in a positive manner or a negative manner, as far as the entire organism is concerned. So there's a lot of connections there, and it went in completely the opposite direction to what I was originally thinking. But as I said, I'm no musician. My understanding of the musical side of things is very limited. But that's what I grabbed from what you were saying, Otto. That's where my mind went anyway. The picture I made was that, in essence, the musical notes can be related back to these equilateral geometries for the transitions, which is just transitions 1 to 8 energy level wise, that produces spectral lines in the case of hydrogen, but in the case of compounds and biological organisms, will produce this like a fractal wavelength, a fractal waveform, which we can do the math on, and we can get basic answers for, but obviously a lot more work has to be done on it. But it's those wavelengths that each particle is producing, and how they overlap with their strengths, that produces this interaction between the physical matter. What's seen as a valence coupling in tetrionics is shown to be a charge coupling. It's really, everything in the universe is really about these positive and negative charges trying to find equilibrium. If you have too many positive charges versus the negative in the particle, it's positively charged. It just simply wants to find a negative charge particle to try and balance out. Hence why electrons are attracted to protons. The neutrons are still attracted to protons because they've got opposite charges. Same topology, but opposite charges to that of a proton. So they're attracted and they bind through these opposite charges. Whereas physics just says there's a residual EM force. Tetrionics shows that it's a charge interaction that brings them together in specific arrangements to create not only atoms and compounds, but all the large molecules, including macromolecules. I've done up to peptides and proteins at this stage. There's more work to be done on DNA, RNA, etc. But all the molecules are accounted for, they're all shown. And all these interactions, even though most of the atoms in biology are at N2 energy levels, their charge arrangement is unique. Each and every molecule has a unique distribution and arrangement of charges that make it up. And that's, every one of them is contributing to this BEM field. The BEM field radiates out. It's the immaterial mass energy component to physics that's ignored at the moment. through Descartes' compromise, as I call it. We study the motions of the particles, how they seem to be attracted to certain other, how molecules are attracted, or atoms are attracted to form compounds. Compounds will form molecules. We see that interaction and how those elements come together, but we just lump it under this idea of a residual EM force or London forces or valence electrons, etc., when in fact it's a charge interaction, and it's the chem fields and the BEM fields that are the chem fields are giving it motion, the BEM fields are giving it life. And it's this sympathetic relationship between various frequencies of photons in those fields that are probably driving all this harmonious creation of larger molecules, what works and what doesn't work. And it all boils back down to, and from what I can see and what I've learned, boils back down into charge interaction, the second law of tetrionics. All charges, or energy in all its forms, whether it's charge or otherwise, seeks equilibrium. Simple as that. Everything's trying to get it the most comfortable, natural state of energy neutrality possible. Where we're going wrong in our bodies at the moment, in our current environment, is we're flooding that environment full of energy. Microwaves and Wi-Fi and radio waves, etc. We're just drowning ourselves. We're literally the frog in the pot. The more technology we get, the more we flood our waking moments with RF waves. That's got to have an impact on our body. But that's where I see it. I think if we link back the unit circle, if that's possible, to musical notes, if there's probably diagrams out there where somebody's done it, no doubt, and look at this relationship to the unit circle or musical notes to unit circle to tetrionic photon geometries, and use the unit circle as a translator, if you like. Use the math that already exists to see if we can't form a bridge. And if we can, then what that bridge is describing is the EM fields, the mass energy that communicates information about each molecule to other molecules. It gives us our fields of force, it gives us our identifier, our RF frequency, if you like, RFID, for each and every compound that exists, just like every chemical formula for that molecule identifies it, so does this BEM field. No doubt, because everything's seeking equilibrium, that's all they're trying to do. They're just trying to balance themselves out. Some molecules will be just like the protons plus 12 charge seeks the electrons minus 12. There'll be molecules that are prone to combine simply because it makes sense for them to combine energy-wise. That's my take on what you're saying anyway, Otto, as far as tetrionics.
As always, it's wonderful to see how the ideas of tetrionics fall in place once you are given an idea.
Yeah, well, it's a two-way street. I needed that information that you gave me as well, because it allowed me to digest it and think about what was going on as far as what I'd worked at already in tetrionics, and it really swung me from the idea of energy levels back to more of a focus on mass energy fields and this connection with the unit circle, which then ties in math. And I'm sure that there's connections in music that Hank will be able to show, and maybe even you, that relate musical scales directly to a unit circle. In fact, I think I saw one the other day on this new Facebook group that I joined, where they color-coded a unit circle as basically the same color code that I use, red to violet, for each octave, and then said basically that the indigo, from memory, was the most disharmonious color, and it mirrored orange, and from there they were, I forget what the, again, I can't remember the musical scales, but the notes lined up opposite each other for the harmonies, etc. I'd have to find the page again. I can send it to you. Okay. There's band connections.
Excellent. I'd like to go to a summary of what you've just said. And basically take that as a seed point for an exploration with Henk Kooi, so that he can see how it links up with what he experiences, feels, knows, provides in music. Essentially, you say that what happens at the physical level is seen in part by the way we detect things. From the point of view of tetrionics, where the starting point is the Planck quantum, you can then see that the photon is the basis of what physics knows as the electromagnetic wave. Actually, the electromagnetic wave, with the electric wave phase delayed followed by the magnetic wave, is just another way of showing how a photon would pass a measuring point in time.
Yeah.
But then, of course, if you understand that, then you have different ways to express this. You can look at the single photon, which in tetrionics has a diamond shape, and you can look at the electromagnetic wave, which in physics has a kind of a helical shape, but also you can look at the pattern of repetition, which in mathematics has the shape of a Euler unit circle. And it is wonderful that you then say, well, okay, that unit circle is, of course, the way we can then connect that to music. And immediately you had a connection in which you said, well, if you look at it in tetrionics and you see that you're dealing with an electromagnetic wave where the electric and the magnetic are coupled, but they're sort of halfway between, so they go into quarters of a straight angle, then that circle already has a division of 8. And that essentially then poses the question of the relationship between the 8 levels of energy in tetrionics, by which the electrons are driven in the atoms, which of course is part of the activation of the atoms in our body and part of the activation of what we know life. So we have two parts of the electromagnetic field, which you brought out very nicely, the chem field, which is basically the electromagnetic field which is associated with matter in any context and any circumstance already, which has a very unique characteristics for every material structure. But also, that electromagnetic field will interact with the ambient electromagnetic field, as a result of which an embedded and enveloping bioelectromagnetic field exists, and biology actually is a system in which that field can be used to change the chemistry of the field, because actually the chemistry is electromagnetic. So at that level, you've already pulled in some very powerful concepts which are way beyond what physics and medicine worked with, which is that the electromagnetic energy field, which physics knows, now can be seen to apply in biology and doesn't have to be included in the considerations of healthcare. But at the same time, you can then see from healthcare how the biological fields have a different quality than what is expressed and researched in physics. So by tetrionics, it is now possible to build the bridge between physics and healthcare by realizing that, as tetrionics puts it, there is a very strong difference between matter and the electromagnetic fields which underlie it. So that matter in that way is more like a tuning fork or a thermometer or a measuring point or a reflector by which we can see the electromagnetic fields in interplay behind it. And so now,
good analogy,
where you are looking at the relationship between the electromagnetic field and matter and the interplay between that, and I am exploring the relationship between music and the health in our body, we already have come to a very wonderful overlap, or at least a parallel, that what I'm looking at as the musical notation or the musical language for the understanding of the coherence of cell cycles in the body forming the health of the body now can be connected to the way the units circle with its eight aspects, its eight faces, describe the electromagnetic wave, which is the basis of the information and radio fields which are driving the dynamic of matter. And so with that, it is evident that a lot still can be put in place and will need to be put in place for others to be able to work with that. But already it is clear that in what you found in Tetrionics, what I'm looking for in the description of life and health and freedom of choice and our being, it is possible to connect that. And then I would like to use this as a starting point for Henk Kooi to think out loud about his understanding of health and music in what I've already discussed with him in the considerations of mathemusics. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad that I asked you this question, because when you came up with Tetrionics, which basically is a geometric or a graphic interpretation of the quantum, in which a quantum is given the shape of an equilateral triangle plus the properties of electromagnetic fields, then it is also possible that that must be the basis of everything we know in the universe and whatever we can know about us ourselves, and that we must be able to use that to find a different way to understand that principle of the relationship between music and health, which we do experience in the body, and that is part of the description of Chinese medicine, where the organs and musical notes are related. It is the basis of Indian medicine, where notes and music and organs and vibrations are all interrelated, and also in shamanic or spiritual medicine, where the relationship between notes and organs and colors and processes and images and bodily functioning, bodily well-being, are already extensively described. So we already have these descriptions of spiritual medicine, of acupuncture medicine, of naturopathy in, say, the far west, the far east, and the east. So now what I'm looking for is to connect that to the material, mechanical, sometimes too mechanistical approach of healthcare in the West. And it seems like that must be possible. So I'm really glad that you were able to associate it with this. And as you just put the image there of let there be light in Tetrionics, you do have that level of description which is most fundamental. Yeah, go ahead, Kelvin.
That illustration I just sent you is unique, because without even knowing it, I've drawn the eight wavelengths for the different eight energy levels that are possible, and I sat down, and instead of drawing triangle after triangle, I just drew them as their appropriate size of energy. Hard to explain straight off, but each that there's 8 different sized triangles in each side of that photon. So you'll see they're color-coded. Red, well, you won't see the red, but red's the actual full size of the photon. But all the other frequency wavelengths are there. So the 8... how do I put this in words? The 8 different energy levels, or the 8 various wavelengths or frequencies, are represented by those overlapping triangles in that center picture. Those wavelengths can then be directly related back to that unit circle again. So that image is actually the octave, is the EM wave or the photon. Think of it as an EM wave, it's probably more appropriate. The EM wave drawn as a as all the musical octaves. And those, that's the pattern that will produce 8 different sine waves for one unit circle. So that's probably the best illustration of a... It's actually white light, hence the title of the illustration. But it's got an even spread of the 8 octaves, the 8 energy levels, illustrated on that one picture. So whereas the original one, the sine wave versus unit circle, only had the one frequency, it was just the photon. That's the EM wave version of it, the one I just sent, and that's probably directly relatable to a full octave in music, as well as a 360 degree unit circle.
Wonderful. This is really something that we can build up on and build a bridge in, and I'm looking forward to what Hank Coy can...
Yeah. It'll be good to relate it back to music that way, because that probably will open the door for music understanding on my side.
Yeah. So thank you very much for this reflection.
Yep.
And I look forward to Hank Coy's reaction to this.
It will be good.
Well, I'll conclude the recording here with. Thanks again, Calvin.
No worries.